This is the National Finance Committee meeting for the Pacifica National Board, convening on December 10th. And having a quorum present, we are going to proceed to roll call. Oh, wait. We might have to do a pro tem secretary. I don't believe Arpal is on the line. Are you there, Arpal?
Yeah, I'm on the line.
Okay, just didn't hear you before. Go ahead and take the roll.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Nick Garina.
Here.
Fred Blair.
Here.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Lyndon Foley.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah.
How's there?
James Sagerton.
Here.
Nancy Sorden. And I also have the ICFO, but I don't know if she's still the ICFO, so I guess I shouldn't call her at this point. Anyway, that's nine, and there's certainly a quorum.
Okay. Thanks, Arpal. So let's see. I'm going to read the agenda that I sent out about 2 hours ago and ask if anybody has any changes that they'd like to make to it. So item one is convene the meeting at 8:30 Eastern Time. Second is roll call. Third is approve agenda. Fourth is minutes approval for November 12th, 2019. Did I get the date right, Arpal?
Yeah, but we don't need to have that on the agenda, the date
okay.
on the agenda.
Okay. The fifth item is continued discussion of the Yahoo backup and storage situation. Sixth is the unreconciled P&L summary discussion. I sent you guys out a spreadsheet about an hour ago. This is a holdover from last week, so if you want to use the document that was transmitted at that time, that'll work too. I took the numbers directly off of it. And then we're going to have a roundtable with Bertolt, item seven, for 30 minutes. Then I'd like to discuss our next meeting date because it's Christmas Eve, and I don't think that's going to work for anybody. And then new business, if there is any, and we're adjourning no later than 10:15 Eastern time.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Yeah. Our next set meeting date is January 14th, because when we made the initial motion to meet for 12 months, and we made that pretty late, we left out December 24th because we figured nobody would be there. So,
okay.
So we're set for January 14th. I'll point out that also, since we started so late in 2019, and we did 12 months, we have meetings set through April.
Okay, great. So I'll probably just leave that as it is unless there's some compelling reason to change. We can discuss that when that item rolls around. Okay, are there any additions or changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, I would like to move to approve the agenda. Do I hear any objections to that idea? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Next up is minutes approval. What do we have for minutes, Arpal?
We have the November 12th, 2019 minutes.
Okay. So, are there any suggested changes or amendments to the to that set of minutes? I'm not hearing any. So, is there any? Let's see. I would like to move to approve those minutes. Are there any objections to that? Hearing none. The minutes, where are we going to file these little minutes? Arpal, this leads nicely into our next item of discussion, which is our backup storage situation.
One, I will send them out as I sent out the draft, and we'll see how that works for a while. And piping this in right now. So we'll do that for the moment, and then we'll have to figure out where on earth we can do all this stuff. So
right.
So I can actually, you know what? I post the minutes, the approved minutes, on my website, so I can just send everybody the URL for that. I post the public minutes up there. So.
Okay. Yeah, that'll work for now. Do we have? Did we reach any conclusions about what to do with all this, or was it handed up to the PNB for a final decision? I can't recall.
Are we on the Yahoo backup issue?
Yeah, we're on item 6 now, since there was no objection.
Item 5.
I'm sorry, item 5. Item 5, pardon me. Item 5.
Where it is right now is where it was last time. We have everything, and it looks like they are no longer, Yahoo is no longer allowing us to post content, as they put it, which means we can't put files up on a website and say, everybody go to this NFC mailing list website and get files. And they have finally gotten around to us. As I said last time, they didn't do it uniformly to everybody all at once because there are huge numbers of people to deal with this, huge numbers of groups. And so they've done it a bit at a time. They appear to have gotten to us, so we can no longer, as far as I can tell, post to the NFC mailing lists website on Yahoo. I will wait another day or so, and then I will download again absolutely everything, and we'll have all of it. Where we put it after that, I think, probably is going to be an issue for the PNB because it affects everything in Pacifica. We've been relying on Yahoo groups for 16 years here.
Yeah, and I know this item came up at the PMB, but I can't remember. I know we were talking about different solutions, including getting our own internal server, but I don't think any conclusions were reached. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, for minutes they can be posted on KPFTX, of course, but that doesn't take care of things like budgets and other documents that this committee has. So, yeah, we do need a longer-term solution for all of Pacifica. And one of the issues was the governance committee discussed this too, but one of the issues is personnel time, paid staff, or we need paid staff to help with some of this if we're going to put it on things like this on Pacifica.org. And we don't have the people right now or the money to pay them.
Yeah, and I know that there are security concerns with some of this stuff as well, although much of it is not incredibly sensitive. Some of it is. So, yeah, I guess this is just one of those unresolved details, but it is kind of going to hang back there in the background, haunting us for a while until it gets figured out. Is governments responsible for crafting a solution, Bill, or is has any other committee stepped up and offered to do something about this?
Well, we had a work group to look into it, but, you know, it's really not a governance issue necessarily. It was kind of frustrating because it was clear that we don't have the resources needed, the staff resources to carry it out now, at least on Pacifica.org. So we may have to continue with some ad hoc things like Google groups for certain things that can be public, or put it on other servers somewhere or use other free servers. There's file sharing services also that are free especially if you don't have many gigabytes of data, and we don't for this committee. So that's another possibility, but it's not such a good place if you're going to have confidential information. And we do have some of that for things like closed session minutes.
Okay. So, I doubt that there's anything more to add at this juncture. It appears that we're kind of in a holding pattern. Arpala, if you're, offering to, it sounds like you did offer to kind of fill the gap until a more permanent solution can be found. And I appreciate that. Did I hear you correctly?
Well, I said for the minutes, I can do that.
Right, for the minutes.
My philosophy is we probably shouldn't have one person putting all the confidential kind of stuff up on their personal website. I could do something like that and put it into a subdirectory with a password on it and stuff like that, but I think we shouldn't have anybody doing that.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. Yeah, we need to find a better solution. So, unfortunately, it means that any sort of confidential documents that we have for the time being are going to end up just being, shared amongst us, I guess, and there's not going to be any permanent reservoir for them, which is not good. We'll need to figure out a solution to that, as will many other groups associated with Pacifica. This is not a unique problem to us. And we're going to have to get a workaround. I don't know. I'll try and bring it up at the next meeting and see if anybody has any thoughts on it and if there's any movement in any other quarters or with any other committees. I hear your objection, Bill, and it couldn't happen at a worse time in some respects. Where we're already strapped for resources, it doesn't make any sense to in-house this, but it probably is the best solution despite that fact. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know that much about database handling and servers and all that stuff. I really don't. So it takes somebody with more skills than I have to figure it out what the best solution would be. But hopefully there is somebody out there in the organization that can handle it. Okay, so last week we got the P&Ls pretty late, and I think candidly, I was pushing Tamara to get them done before her contract was up. So there's some loose ends in them, as people who have already pointed out, and even during the last meeting. And so there's some stuff that needs to be dealt with in terms of those. But there's certain conclusions from it as well. And I think it's valuable that we have what we got. And we can continue working through it to resolve whatever issues we see with the numbers. I found a couple of things that seemed to me to be, I don't know how to put it exactly, that are worth looking at, I guess I put it. Like, for example, and this has been pointed out, Grace pointed it out today, all of the interest payments for the loan are being lumped into WBAI, which is also it also has the note on its books. So that's being carried forward through too. And whether that's the best way of accounting for it or not is a matter for discussion. But since each individual unit is going to be held accountable for the interest payments, it probably doesn't make sense to have the interest allocated strictly to WBAI. In fact, it doesn't make any sense to me. So we had a proposal up for how to distribute those interest payments, and going forward from the end of last year, the interest payment should be allocated to each individual division according to that schedule, provided, of course, that the PNB passes that. That would distribute it, pepper it throughout the organization, and make it less of a big sore thumb for WBAI. As far as the books that just closed on September 30th, I would be in favor of footnoting it if there's a better way of doing it. It doesn't. Maybe there's another way of doing it that makes sense, even more sense. But usually, just stirring the stuff around. We're all drinking from the same soup in Pacifica, and as long as we recognize what's going on, I don't I don't see any problem with just making careful notes and working our way through it that way. There are some other things that I just still frankly don't understand. Like in at least two of the divisions, DAI and PFW, I think, were the two. I think T last year too. The amount of subcontracting approached $10,000 a month. And I'm curious as to where all of that is going, because it doesn't really call it out by end vendors. So if anybody from any of those three units can help me understand where those funds are going. And of course the numbers are even weirder if you go back further, but I'd rather just focus on the immediate problem if we could. If you want to go back and discuss ancient history, that's okay too. If we can determine where some of these expenses are coming from, it would help me understand what, if any, of them can be changed, and what guidance we can provide to the individual units. In other words, what's necessary and what is superfluous. If there's anybody from any of those three units, I know Berthold's on the line, and we'll get to him in a minute here, but if there's anybody other than Berthold who can speak to those expenses from those three units, that would be of interest to me. So I'd like to take a stack for that particular item if we could.
Just excuse me, Chris. I didn't hear what the three units were. I missed that.
Oh, okay. So, and I guess stations is the preferred term within Pacifica. So the three stations would be KPFT, WBAI, and WPFW. Those three stations had approximately, roughly, $10,000 a month in, it's not necessarily 1099, but in subcontracting, professional services that were not in the legal category. There's a call out for that on the report. Let me see how Tamara called it out. Hang on just a second. And it might be a
line 68 consultant/temp/contractuals.
That's it.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's the one.
And Bill for the stack.
Go ahead, Bill.
You know, we'd have to ask Nita for details or our business managers, but I think at KPFT, at least a large part of that is probably 1099 people. It varies per month, and some of that looks like it varied when I know there were some people added and who left. Like it varied. During this last fiscal year, it reached a peak in February of 11,583, and you know, then it dropped to, you know, around 5,000 for the last 4 months of the fiscal year, because I know there were some part-time people laid off. But, you know, in general, I think we should try to be moving people. If they're going to be on the payroll for a long time, or, well, say on the payroll, if they're going to be working for us for more than 6 months, they really ought to be on payroll and not as 1099s, especially if they don't meet the IRS definition of a contractor. And when we have people working at the station using station facilities and equipment, and their hours are set by the GM and not by themselves, then they really shouldn't be considered as contractors. So I think that's something we should be looking at all the stations.
I agree with that. Is there anybody from either or BAI that can speak to this category?
I have a question. Arpal has a question. You sent
sure.
out a file named Chris Corey Pack Summary, but there's no extension on it. What kind of a file is that?
Oh, it's an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, this is Nick for the stack.
Go ahead, Nick.
So I think we're getting down into the weeds of something that may not be the best use of time, Chris, to be honest with you. I could say in terms of WPFW, without knowing how Tamara came up with these calculations, is that there's engineering costs that were associated with our transmitter upgrade in 2018, and there is accounting support costs that are both considered professional services for us as 1099 versus staff. I think this is more of a weedy issue than things that are perhaps more eminent, like how loan payments are going to be made and such. So, but for WPFW, those are 1099. The predominance of 1099 is accounting support and engineering support.
Okay. All right. So let me just ask you this, Nick. Why isn't NEDA picking up the accounting portion?
I can't tell you because NEDA doesn't return phone calls and NEDA doesn't answer questions and NEDA is not available to us. So I can't answer that question for you. The transparency about the services that NEDA is supposed to provide to us is opaque. We don't know what we're paying for, and we don't know anything about the contracted services that they're supposed to be providing. So we really have no idea. We've been operating pre-NEDA in this way, and we continue to operate post-NEDA. The accounting costs are not very significant. The engineering costs were higher and will continue to be. There's other things involved in the engineering costs that we can discuss, but to be honest with you, I don't know, and we don't have the information in which to give you that detail.
Okay.
I would suggest having a conversation with NEDA about what they're contractually trying to provide to EFW and BAI.
Okay, I'll do that, Nick. And just to address your previous point, the reason I'm getting off in the weeds here on the contractuals and temps category is because it's the category that seems to be growing among the fastest in the organization, and I'm just concerned that it'll consume capital that we don't have. And so it's just kind of a red flag and something that I'm worrying about. And, if I'm convinced that it's something that we can't do anything about, or that's just kind of reached its high watermark, then, you know, I'll just stop worrying about it and focus my attention on something else. But it did kind of pop up. The administrative expenses category popped up, and this is one of the largest areas of that category. So I thought I'd just try and dig down a little deeper and try and figure out what's in it. And it sounds like both Bill and you can't get a direct answer on that. I'm going to have to contact NEDA and figure it out because, I don't know exactly what's in there either. And maybe some stuff is in there that doesn't belong there. So I'll find that out. Is there anybody from BAI that can speak to this particular category?
Well, maybe there is, but when I've opened that file you sent us that I just asked about before, Chris Corey PAC summary, I added an XLS on it to make it a – oh, is it not an XLS file? What is the extension on that file? Because it opens up as corrupt.
Oh, okay. Hang on. How can I? I'm trying to right click on it, and that's not working. I can look at the attachment as it went.
This is Sharon. It's opened up in Excel for me, but I'm on a Mac. I don't know if that's the difference there, but it's in Excel.
Fred here. I see it as an XLSX extension.
Ah, Excel. Okay. if that opens it up. Oh, is it? All right, I'll try to get that on it and stop it from causing more problems. All right, thank you.
Sure. Yeah, it worked okay for me by adding a XLSX extension. This is Bill.
I'm sorry about the lack of file extension. I didn't recognize that. I think what happened was that I saved it under a different name than it was stored on my computer. And when I did that, it deleted the extension, so I apologize for that. Okay, so I'm sorry. You have it yet, our call?
Yeah, I got it now. I just put an XLS on it, and then OSX. Add that extra X that Microsoft loves to play with.
Right. Okay, so like I say, that category is running at about $10,000 a month for VAI, and I was just wondering whether you had any idea what was in that category.
Well, the general manager's on the line, and he can absolutely say it because he pays that bill. So I think, really, rather than asking me, I think I know, but I think you should probably go directly to him because I'd just be quoting him anyway.
That's fine. We can do that. Bertold, are you there? Well,
Chris, Maestro,
am I still on?
Maestro still shows him on.
Weird.
Maybe I'll call him and see what's going on.
He's trying
is he muted?
Okay.
He knows he's gonna be on later.
I don't have the console, so I'll tell you.
He's public. I saw some green there. I think he was trying to speak.
How strange. Yeah, if there's anybody who has access, Fred, do you have access to the console? You must, or you wouldn't be able to tell me who was on.
Yeah. He's listed as public on the console, so he should be able to speak without any problem. He's not muted.
Interesting.
I have Berto on the phone right now. He says he's not on the call.
Oh, okay.
Shall we get him on?
Yes.
I'm actually kind of curious who's on the public line now.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, shall I give him some of the numbers that Fred provided?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to mute while I do that.
Yeah, of course, James. Thank you.
So is there a way, this is Sharon, is there a way to disconnect the person who's on the public line?
Fred here. Yes, I can kick him off.
What's the number?
Sorry, what?
What is the number that public is accessing to us?
We shouldn't do that.
Yeah, we shouldn't broadcast that answer.
I can give you some preliminary numbers. It won't be as good as what the general manager will do because, again, he actually pays this stuff. But I do know that, for instance, we have costs in associated with the call center, which I have been told in the past we had to go to because people were coming to the local finance committee meeting and saying, hey, you know what? You're violating New York state law because – to have the old days, we used to have a bunch of people that come in off the street, they'd answer the phones and do all of that. And these days, as of some years ago, we were told you have to have bonded people doing that, and it has to be done in a certain way and stuff like that. And so I'm told that's why we went to a call center. Another thing is there was a there was a hire made to see if someone who had a recognizable name, good name recognition in radio in New York, and see how that person would work out. And so instead of just saying, hey, come on over here, we'll put you on the payroll, that person ended up on as a contract worker for a while. So I think those two things are some of it. Also, you got stuff like, you know, we have a guy who comes in twice a week and cleans the place, stuff like that. So
yeah.
I think I've just gone over probably the two biggest items in that area, and then there could be a lot of little piddling things too.
Sure. Yeah. I noticed that the consultant and temps category is down a lot from last year too, so it'd be interesting to hear why it's fallen so much over the last year too.
The guy who had the good name in radio got hired as staff.
Got it. Okay.
Point of information, Sharon. When you said it was $10K a month, is that for each station or $10K a month for all three stations together?
No. If it were $10K a month for the network, I wouldn't be concerned about it. No, it's $10K per month for each one of those three stations. So it's about $10K a month at WBAI. It's about $10K a month at PSW, and it's about $10K a month at T.
Bertold is here.
Hey, Bertold.
Hey, hi.
Hi. So I was just inquiring.
Nancy with a question.
I'm sorry, what?
Nancy with a question, a follow-on question.
Okay, go ahead, Nancy.
What are those fees at the other two stations? Zero?
No, they're not zero, but they were minimal. So the consulting at PFA for 2019 was $28,000 for the year, so that's like $5,000 per month. For KPFK, it was – or is that five? No, it's $2,500 a month. Sorry about that. For KPFK, it was about $40,000, which is $3,500 a month. Yeah. So it's significantly lower at the other two stations, which is why it got red flagged and why it made me curious.
Okay.
Actually, now that I look at it, that's for all four categories. Consulting is about half of that. I should break it down. So I pulled out, actually not four categories, three, consulting, legal, and interest payments. And so those three categories combined were the amounts that I just said. If it's just for consulting, for KPFK, it was about $2,000 a month, and for KPFA, it was almost nothing. It was $3,000 for the entire year. $250 a month.
Are we looking on the... The information that you just sent us?
Yeah, it's that or the statements that were provided by Tamara. This is from the 2019 figures, by the way. The last year, the most recent year.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry. So, Bertold, we were just talking about consulting, consultants, temporaries, and subcontractors for the stations. And there were three stations that had about $10,000 a month in subcontractors, and BAI was one of them. Can you tell me what subcontractors fall into that category? R. Paul gave us kind of a brief summary, but if you could dig down a little bit deeper, I'd appreciate it.
I can give you a deep summary, like, no problem. This past fiscal year, we had, basically, we paid Christian Blasdell $28,000 for front drive pitch. So every front drive, we get two or three pitch from her. And then Catherine Davis, who was also a consultant for front drive, we paid her $8,000. So that was $36,350 just for a consultant to fund drive pitches, because we don't really have too many producers doing any of those things. You know, now right now we have a Christian Blasdale pitch that made us $89,000, so I think it's worth it. So that's that. Then we have also a webmaster who gets paid between $1,500 and $2,000 a month, depending on how many hours he puts in. So that's a webmaster. So our webmaster adds up to $24,000 for last year. And then we have a consultant. Just looking at my thing. So that these are basically it, you know. So these are some of the consulting things that we have. Oh, and then we have we had one guy who was the booker, like a executive producer for Leonard Lope. So he was making $18,000 a year as a consultant. So no salary, no health benefits, and no. Hold on a second.
Are you still there, Bertold? Am I still there?
Yep, you are there, Chris.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Hey, I couldn't quite catch the beginning, so maybe some of you caught it while we're waiting for Bertold to get back. Catherine Davis, what was that? I didn't fund drive pitches? I didn't catch that.
Hello? Sorry. Hello?
Hello. Hi, yes, Bertold.
Sorry. Yeah. So these are consultants.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that covers about two-thirds of it. So I'm sure that there's another, like,
well, we have engineer. Like, we don't have an in-house engineer either. So when he comes in to do fix or whatever needs to be fixed, you know, we pay him sometimes. You know, so that also adds up to probably $5,000 a year.
Okay. Sharon, you had a question for
Yes, I didn't thank you, Chris. Hi, Bertold. I didn't I couldn't quite catch what you said at the very beginning about, I believe, I didn't even catch the names, but I think you said Christine Blasdale and Catherine Davis were doing fund drive pitches and the amounts. I didn't get what they did or what the amounts were.
They the same thing Christine used to do for PFW. They produce a 1 hour or 2 hour fund drive pitch for the drive, or they produce two or three of those, and then they charge us a certain amount of money per pitch, and then we pay them during the fund drive. And then usually these are the biggest money makers on the drive, Christine Blackfield.
And what were the amounts for that? What were the amounts for each of those?
$28,000 for Christine and $8,350 for Catherine. So that's $36,350 just for fund drive pitching.
And that's for the year.
That's for fund drive.
Okay, thank you.
And then the webmaster was $24,000 for the year, about $2,000 a month. Engineering and consultant computer was $1,100. And then there was another $23,000 altogether, and that was for... Oh yeah, so that's the Jesse Lant, the executive producer for Leonard Lope. So these all add up to total consultant expenses. like 85,000. 461.12.
Okay. Yeah, they're probably lumping in your Outrecker services for processing payments in there too. I believe that was, I can't remember the amount on that, Bertold, but you know who I'm talking about, right? Thank you. Yes, the phone bank.
Oh yeah, the phone bank. So that's Cygnus, the call center.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a totally different other number.
Yeah.
You want to know what that is?
Yeah, please, if you could. I'm just trying to get it all add up.
Yeah.
It's starting to get close, but I think that'll put it where it needs to be. Answer all the questions. And then I'll have a good idea of what this category means for other stations as well.
Okay. So, well, yeah, this was, you know, based on the last auditor that we had, sent me a chart of accounts to do it like that. So Cygnus, the call center, it's a little more complicated, okay. So from October 2018 to present, we paid them, let me see, whoa. It's probably 60,000, 70,000 for the year. Let me go back again into my budget to see if I can find that. In my P&L.
Can you send us documents?
Huh?
Can you send us documents, a spreadsheet, something?
Yeah.
All right. When do you think you might be able to do that for us?
Now.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So let me go back again to fund drive expense. See if I can find the sickness. Drive expense at 17,866.39.
17?
17, yeah.
Okay.
That's
for the year, though.
That, yeah, I think it might be more. It's that and also stamps, you know, because we put that on the fund drive, you know, and stamps on all the things that we're shipping. We add those in there also.
Postage?
Posting and yes. I think it's bigger than that. But I'll send you the spreadsheet right now if you want to. Where do you want it to be sent to? This is the profit and loss. That this is the actual accurate profit and loss accrued from October 2018 to September 2019. That's what you're looking for, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So you can send it to natfinancecom, natfinancecom.
Hold on. Say that again. NET.
What's that?
Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry.
Mr.
Yeah.
Chair, he can't send anything to the mailing list. Because
that's right. You have to be on the list, sir. My apologies.
Send it to me.
Yeah, send it to our Paul and he'll forward it.
Our Paul? Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, our Paul.
Bill
for saving the benefits back. Go ahead, Bill.
Those items you mentioned for people working on, for fund drives, for pitching or other services for that, and also for the call center, are they going into administrative expenses or development expenses?
Okay, hold on.
On the Netter spreadsheet.
On the Netter spreadsheet, I haven't really paid attention to the Netter spreadsheet, to tell you the truth. I just keep track of this. On this, I keep them on the consultant. The Christian Blasi is on the administrative. And Kathy Davis is on the administrative.
That's a good question, though, Bill. I do see an item that would indicate that it might be under development.
Let me see. I'm sorry. No, Kristen Dazzle and Catherine are under development. The Fund Draft Consultant, I created a subcategory called Fund Draft Consultant, which is a subcategory of consultant programming. Consultant programming. So that's what that is. Yeah. And the 23,000, which is... Yeah, the Jesse Lent, oh, that's different. Yeah, the Jesse Lent is under, let me see, the 23,000 is under, consultant administration, the executive producer to Leonard Lope.
Okay.
Insignius?
Which one?
Cygnus, is that also under admin?
Yeah, let me go back again into Cygnus. For some reason, I can't find the Cygnus. Let me go back into my expenses and then look at the entries. Yes. This is on the fund drive expenses. The general fund drive expenses.
Yeah, that probably is under development on the NIDA spreadsheet then. They're showing 45,000 for that category.
Yes, IGNIUS. It's under fund drive expenses administration.
Okay.
But that doesn't seem to correlate with when the fund drives are.
The Cygnus?
Well, I'm just looking at the spreadsheet. You know, it has listed per month.
Well, it depends on, like since WBI, they send us a bill. Sometimes we pay it the month after. With Cygnus, we can pay them about 2-3 months later. We've just been, paying them regularly. A month or 2 months after the drive, because they wait for the drive to be over, then they calculate, because they have to calculate all the minutes, and then they send us a bill. So maybe we may pay them 2 months later, maybe 3 months later. So.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. I think there was Sharon. Was it you, or was it somebody else that was asking about the fund drive? This might be a good opportunity to bring that up. The most recent.
I'm curious about. I don't actually know. I know KPFA is having a fund drive right now, and I don't know. I think WBAI and the other stations are having fund drives. So I'm just curious. What the fund drive numbers are, if there's one happening.
Okay. So, let me see. I'm not at work, but we've been averaging in about 7,700 per day. We've been doing this technically since November the 18th. Is that Monday? No, let me see, November the 18th. I think it's a Monday. Yes, since November the 18th. So that's what we've been averaging. And we also, we had one week of fund drive from October the 1st to October the 6th before the coup. And so we're averaging about $8,000 a day. So that's I don't have the spreadsheet with me, but you know, you can do the math for the days. As a matter of fact, give me a minute.
Virgil, didn't we start the thon on November 13th?
No, the 18th. When we got back on the air, we didn't go back straight on hard fund drive pitching premium. We just kind of – we had to do programming to reacquaint those people with the fund drive. But that's probably why you have the low number of – that you have.
I have numbers.
Okay.
I have numbers from the interim development director starting the 13th, but okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Are you still in a fund drive right now, so from November 18th and then now –
we're in fund drive mode right now. We're trying to evaluate. Like, normally we would have 4 or 5 weeks of fund drive in October and then another 2 weeks in December. So we're probably going to lose 1 week of fund drive because of everything that happened. So we're trying, you know, what we're doing now, we are interspersing the drive. You know, we have a regular show at 7 a.m. and then Amy Goodman, Democracy Now! So we have 2 hours of regular show. We have usually 1 hour between 10 and noon of regular show. We have Gary Noll and Leonard Lope, 2 more hours of regular show usually. And then from 5 to 7, we have regular show again. So we're just putting in pitch shows in between. And so we think that we're going to just we're monitoring the listenership and online and stuff like that. And we think we're going to do that, you know, until we get to where we want to be because – of the momentum that we had lost.
You're actually interspersing pitch shows with your regular programming. Are you saying that Gary Noll is doing pitching and Leonard Lopate, or are they both doing pitch programming?
Well, they do. Gary Noll has always done, and Amy Goodman have always done their regular show during Fun Drive. Their regular show doesn't get disturbed from Amy Goodman from 8 to 9. And Leonard Lope from and Gary Noll from noon to 1, and Leonard Lope from 1 to 2. So we kind of Leonard Lope once or twice a week we might preempt him, but we have him do a regular show, and then you know he will pitch, you know, like become a assistant member or join his magazine or something light, you know. But he does a regular full show.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So. So far in October, okay, hold on. In October we raised 222,000 dollars. Pledge 172 cash. In November 68,000 and 49 cash. Fulfillment is pretty high because this all credit card goes in directly. And so far we got 164,000, 143,000 cash in.
Oh, this is Sharon again. So when you say you said 68,000 in November and 49,000 cash.
Uh-huh.
Are people paying in cash, or does that mean that you've actually received the money?
Well, the way WBI does our fund drive, you know, we have a website, which is an e-commerce site that has all the premiums and then takes a credit card payment. So, you know, any pledge by credit card is processed immediately. You know, we know, like, it's you know, if the credit card is not good, it's rejected. So the call center right there and then puts it through and it goes through, you know, and then the pledge is recorded for the premium and it's all done. So the only thing that we don't collect is when they send us a check, you know, when they say we did send a check. But any credit card pledge is 100% fulfilled.
Right, but you said one number, something like 68,000.
68,000 pledge and 49,000 in cash in fulfillment.
Received.
Yeah, received.
That's credit cards, debit cards.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wasn't understanding what cash meant there.
It's immediate. We get it immediately. May I add something? ARPO was asking about October 13th. I just want to say, ARPO, I think that is when we first came back on the air and people began to recognize that it was us and not Pacifica Across America, people started spontaneously offering checks and bringing money to the station. It was not part of the official, you know, regular pledge drive, but money was coming in.
Yeah. Also, you know, we have, I don't know if you guys are aware of the fact that there was a period of, I don't know, 10 days where we had to reestablish the reconnect. I had to go and get a new debit card and reconnect that to our main account. Our main account was terminated, so I had to reinstate the main account, which was connected to our e-commerce website. It takes about 12 days, business days of a full security check for them to give you a new number. So I had to go back to the bank and get them to reactivate the old bank account so that the pledges were processed and went straight to our bank account. So that took a week and a half. So
we also had to get our pledge number back. We didn't have our pledge number initially. We didn't have our email. Our Gmail accounts were all closed. We didn't have there were a number of things we had to do to get back up to operating speed. So it was a slow takeoff, and again, we had some people sending money in despite the fact that we weren't really ready to do a full fund drive.
Yeah.
All right. So there was another question that cropped up about the front end part of the transactions, and I'm going to need some help here again because I can't remember the exact nature of this question. I did talk to Tamara briefly about it, and she knows she can see the money when it comes out of your website and goes into the account, the cash end of the business, but. I believe what she said, and James, you and I discussed this briefly too.
I know exactly what it is. I can clarify that for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Because we, you know, we do this so effectively, you know, like we take carte blanche, you know, we take MasterCard, Visa, we take American Express and everything else. So what happened is, you know, let's assume that $10,000 of credit card is processed today, immediately. So it says that $10,000 cash went to WBI. We don't see that in the bank immediately because there's a company called Braintree, which is a subsidiary of, I believe, of PayPal, that processes that money, that those credit cards. You know, they have to process it, take the fees and all of that stuff. And so your American Express payment might come to immediately, and then your MasterCard might come to in 2 days, and depending on what time they come to in the day. So that $10,000, you know, you will never be able to see that $10,000 directly into our bank. You know, so you have to go into the get the Braintree statements, and then you have to look at certain things and transaction, and then you can see them. But you cannot do a one-to-one, you know, like straight from our e-commerce website to our bank account. You know, I mean, for example, when we start a fund drive, I don't really expect to see real large amount of money until the Monday after. You know, on the Friday, you know, like the Friday after the fund drive, you see some money, a little bit. And then on the Monday, you see a large sum of money, like $20,000, $30,000 that come in from the whole week. You know, so it takes a while for it to process. So, you know, the one-to-one relationship between the money in there is never going to be the same, but you can actually reconcile it to, you know, to the penny if you really were going, you know, if you wanted to do a forensic analysis or look into details. I actually did provide some of that information for a few transactions to the previous auditors. And if I can find them, I can send them to you also, which is basically the statement from Braintree, which is the processing company, then
Point of order. Uh-huh. What is the purpose of this? Do we care about Braintree or how long it takes for the money to go through the processing system?